WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, September 8th, 2016. We are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a great hour in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's show, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers, who are going through a tough stretch of baseball, to say the least, right now, as they fell to the Chicago White Sox yesterday afternoon, and things have become very interesting when it comes to the Tigers' hopes for at least a wild card playoff berth. All right, so we'll talk about what's wrong with the Tigers. Also, tonight, no more exhibition games, folks. The NFL year will officially kick off with the Carolina Panthers taking on the Denver Broncos on NBC. We will give you all a bit of a rough cut preview of the NFL year. It's exciting that the NFL season is upon us, so we'll chat about that. Also, we will finally dive into the whole Colin Kaepernick sitting during the national anthem conversation. You'll hear my take on it, and you will also hear an impassioned take from a former NFL superstar who really summed up my thoughts and many people's thoughts out there quite eloquently and with a lot of passion. So you'll get to hear that. Also, on the back end of the show, it is Thursday. We'll hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. That's right, we've got Throwback Thursday and so much more in store for all of you out there. Hey, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, Avisail Garcia came back to hurt his old team as his single to center with one out in the eighth scored pinch runner J.B. Shook with the deciding run in the Chicago White Sox 7-4 victory over the Detroit Tigers yesterday afternoon at U.S. Cellular Field. It was an especially tough loss for the Tigers, who had a one-run advantage entering the White Sox four-run eighth and could have forged a tie for the American League's second wild card spot with Baltimore prior to a three-game series between the two clubs this weekend starting on Friday in Detroit. Shane Green suffered the loss as three of the four White Sox hitters he faced made hard contact. Rookie Michael Fulmer will now start the opener of that big series against the Orioles, who led Detroit by one game for the second wild card spot in the American League. Fulmer allowed five runs in 4 1/3 innings of work against the Orioles on May 15th at Camden Yards in his lone career outing versus Baltimore. Friday's first pitch is scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Tim Tebow, can you believe it? The former NFL quarterback and Heisman Trophy winning college star has signed a minor league deal with the New York Mets. As of Wednesday night, eight teams had expressed interest in Tebow, but only three had been named. Those teams were the Atlanta Braves, the Colorado Rockies, and the Toronto Blue Jays. This is Tebow's second go-around with the New York team. He played for the New York Jets in 2012, and that ended up being his last season in the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, no longer do we have to snooze through meaningless NFL exhibition games. Tonight, the NFL year officially kicks off with a rematch of last year's Super Bowl teams as the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos are set to kick off at 8:30 p.m. on NBC. The Panthers will get a great opportunity to exact some revenge as consensus three-point road favorites at sportsbook monitor oddshark.com. So we'll see how things pan out. Cam Newton, always fun watching him play, right? All right, John Tortorella, the coach of Team USA for the upcoming World Cup of Hockey, isn't backing off of his comments that he benched any player who did not stand for the U.S. national anthem. Now, on Tuesday, He told ESPN, quote, if any of my players sit on the bench for the national anthem, they will sit there the rest of the game. I'm not backing off. Yeah, he made that statement after the team's on-ice workout on Wednesday. We will have more conversation surrounded around what John Tortorella had to say, as well as Colin Kaepernick, and this whole sitting during the national anthem dialogue continues day in and day out, all right? So don't miss that convo. U.S. swimmer Ryan Lochte will be suspended from his sport for 10 months and won't be allowed to participate in the 2017 World Championship meet as a result of his role in a scandal in Rio de Janeiro during the Olympics. A person with knowledge of that told CNN. Now, three other swimmers involved in the episode at the Rio gas station include Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and James Fegan. They will also face suspensions, but not as long as Lochte's 10 months. Moving on now, more than 2,500 supporters continue to rally behind Flint gold medal boxer Clarissa Shields to grace the cover of the Wheaties cereal box. The goal is to reach 5,000 or more online signatures before presenting the page to the General Mills Food Company, which of course owns Wheaties. Now, Shields made history at the 2016 Rio Olympics as the first American boxer, male or female, to capture back-to-back gold medals and really dominate the competition. Detroit native Sarah Beatty launched an online petition to get Shields on the front of the Breakfast of Champions Wheaties cereal box. It's highly unlikely that Wheaties will go with a second Olympian, but the company has been paying attention, close attention, to the 21-year-old phenom known as Clarissa Shields. All right, if Sunday night's six-touchdown performance left any doubters, DeShone Kizer silenced them on Wednesday. The Notre Dame redshirt sophomore told reporters that he has been named the Fighting Irish's starting quarterback moving forward, edging out senior QB Malik Zaire. Now, this is particular importance to Michigan State football fans out there because that's Michigan State's next game. That's right. After this bye week, Michigan State will travel on the road to Notre Dame to take on the Fighting Irish. Now, last season, Zaire suffered a season-ending ankle injury early on, and Kizer stepped into the starting quarterback spot for the remainder of the season. Brian Kelly went into this year's opener against Texas planning to play both quarterbacks, but the game quickly turned into a one-man show led by DeShone Kizer. And last but not least, Tiger Woods is back. Woods announced on his website on Wednesday he plans to play the Safeway Open, which will run from October 13th to the 16th, the Turkish Airlines Open, which will take place on November 3rd to the 6th, and the Hero World Challenge, which will take place in December 1st to the 4th. Now, the announcement also included a note about Woods taking part in the Tiger Woods Invitational scheduled for October 10th to the 11th. Woods is returning from multiple back surgeries and did not compete on the PGA Tour during the 2015-16 year. His last event was the Wyndham Championship in August 2015, where he finished tied for 10th. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number if you want to be a part of today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
Thoughts on today's game?
Well, it's a game you want to win. You want to win the series. I think Quintana did a nice job, and ultimately we just couldn't hold them in the end.
What did you think of the job that Sanchez was able to do for you? We talked about a pregame, some tough innings here and there can get to him, but he seemed to wiggle out of those jams today.
Yeah, he got out of them. He gave us five. You know, he was going to have a short leash, whether he liked it or not, just because we had the off day tomorrow. And pretty much our entire bullpen was fresh, so that was just the way it was going to be.
Your thoughts on the 7-pitch sixth inning that you got out of Rondon today?
He did a nice job. He did, again, that's why we went to him early. He's pitched well his last three outings now, and he's been building on it, so it's a nice outing.
And Shane Green and Justin Wilson couldn't hold it down today. What were their issues from your point of view?
Well, just balls in the middle plate. It's pretty simple.
Victor, that slide in the second, it looked like he came up a little gimpy, although he did finish the game. How concerned are you with him right now?
He's always going to have issues with the knees. He just kind of tweaked a little bit on the slide, but within, 10 minutes he thought he'd be fine, and within 20 minutes he was fine.
So no ongoing concern there?
No. I mean, other than him having knee surgeries twice over the last 5 years, no concern whatsoever.
Can you just reflect on the road trip as an entirety right now?
Mediocre road trip, 3-3, could be worse. 500 on the road isn't awful. Would have been nice to win this one here today and take 4 out of 6. But we'll go 3-3, and we got a big series of Baltimore coming up.
Welcome, ladies and gents, boys and girls, to this afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show. Great show in store for all of you guys. And we've had, throughout this week so far, in the span of just 2 days, now 3 days, with the start of today's show, five guests throughout this week. We had three, actually, on Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. So we're going to take a break from the guests, and we're actually going to have a ton of dialogue on today's show, specifically when it concerns what conversation will take place after our first break. And I know Isaac Constance, our engineer, hit on this topic last week, but we plan on going a bit more in depth in it. And that concerns, of course, Colin Kaepernick, quarterback in the NFL, who has decided to sit out, take a knee, pop a squat during the national anthem, which is traditionally played before each and every sporting event here in America. And there was an impassioned rant by a former NFL player that you do not want to miss, folks. It really summed up my thoughts on the topic. So we'll get to that later on in the show. And I want to get your thoughts on the whole Colin Kaepernick national anthem convo. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That will be the overlying theme of today's show. And we'll also talk about the start of the NFL year. Exciting stuff, right? Finally, I do not have to sit on my couch and watch any more exhibition games in the NFL. And we get it on like Donkey Kong as the Carolina Panthers would take on the Denver Broncos, a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. We get to see Killer Cam Newton, on the gridiron doing his thing against, of course, that stout Denver defense, Von Miller and company. No Peyton Manning. It's so funny, it's a bit weird because now we embark on the era of the NFL without Peyton Manning. And Peyton has been doing these commercials with Lionel Richie, formerly of the Commodores, in which, Lionel, he starts the commercial saying, "Is Peyton on Sunday morning?" I can't sing. That was my best Lionel Richie. Isaac's cracking up behind the glass. That's my best Lionel Richie impression right there. But it's funny because it goes to Peyton sitting on his couch trying to figure out what he is now going to do with his Sunday. So we'll talk about the start of the NFL year. But we have to start with the Detroit Tigers, folks. It's become very interesting when evaluating how this Detroit Tigers season is presently in right now. Because Detroit Tigers, they've had so many up and downs. And that's how a baseball year is anyway. I mean, it's a roller coaster. It really is. You're going to have your highs. You're going to have your lows. It's going to get scary. I mean, that's how it is. And the Detroit Tigers have taken the Tigers fans on quite the ride this year. And now they will embark on a series that has a lot of implications, if you ask me. As of right now, the Detroit Tigers sit one game out of a wild card berth in the American League. The two teams that hold those spots right now are the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. And as I stated in our quick hit headliners, the Tigers will be playing the Orioles in a weekend series starting tomorrow, in which the Tigers will put out rookie sensation Michael Fulmer on the mound. And the Tigers have had a tough stretch of baseball. They lose yet again to the Chicago White Sox. They have lost two straight to the White Sox. So the White Sox take that series 2-1. Prior to that, they actually beat the Royals in a 3-game series. They lost the second game of that series 5-2. But it's been up and down. It really has been up and down. But the Tigers right now, they're not going to win the American League Central. Let's be honest here. You might as well hand that division crown to the Cleveland Indians as we speak. They have been having a fantastic year. 5.5 games in back of the top spot in the AL Central for the Detroit Tigers. But that's not the conversation here. The Tigers are just trying to make the dance right now. And they blow. They just completely blow a game last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, I should say. That was a 2-10 first pitch. They could just completely blow a game that they should have won. Simple as that. And, you know, it seems like the old bugaboo is finally revealing itself for the Detroit Tigers as at this point in the year when you want to play your best baseball, right? As we knock on the door of October. The back end of the bullpen has not been great. Specifically, a few names to call out here, Shane Green and Justin Wilson, they were awful yesterday. They combined to allow 4 runs on 5 hits in Wednesday's 7-4 loss to the Chicago White Sox. When you evaluate Green's statistics as of late, Green has a, get this, 13.50 ERA since August 17th, allowing 14 earned runs on 17 hits over 9 1/3 innings of work. Horrid. Yeah. Justin Wilson has also struggled for more than a month. He has allowed 9 runs over his last 13 innings. So when you look at that game and what took place, I mean, you sit there and there's really no one else you can blame. You have to blame the back end of that bullpen. They completely coughed it up. Completely coughed that game up. Now, Detroit Tigers manager Brad Ausmus, who you just heard sitting down with Fox Sports Detroit reporter Trevor Thompson, Ausmus said that he will continue to use the usual pitchers at the back end of games, even though the aforementioned struggles have constantly occurred in recent weeks here. He's sticking with them. He went on to say, quote, "That's the thing about the back of the bullpen. When they have an off day, you generally lose. So it's going to happen." And on the contrary here, I want to bring up Bruce Rondon. He has been solid. He has allowed 2 earned runs over his last 12 games. He has given up 8 hits and 2 walks over 12 innings with 15 strikeouts in that span, and has really used a plethora of pitches to give the Tigers a scoreless inning yesterday against the White Sox, but it wasn't enough. So we are now approaching the time of year, if the Tigers want to have a shot at a 1-game dance due to a wild card berth in this year's MLB playoffs, they got to start playing their base baseball right now, and the relievers have to come in and shut the door or give this Detroit Tigers team a chance to win in late game opportunities here. We mentioned Justin Upton on yesterday's show. Justin Upton has been just completely scorching hot. He has been great. He actually had a 3-run shot to continue his unbelievable stretch. He's belted 9 homers in the past 16 games. 9 homers in the past 16 games. That's winning baseball. During that stretch, Upton is hitting .344 with 24 RBIs. He also smacked a pair of late-inning homers this week to give Detroit leads that actually held up for wins. So, many Detroit Tigers fans are hoping that Justin Upton play can trickle down to the rest of the order and really to the rest of the team. And, again, at this point of the year, you have to have great pitch. You just have to play your best baseball. And you got to stay healthy. That's the big thing for me. When it comes to these, you know, when you're knocking on the door of the playoffs, you have to stay healthy because usually the healthiest teams are going to make the deepest runs in the playoffs. The Tigers really dodged a bullet yesterday following an awkward slide by designated hitter V-Mart, Victor Martinez. He grounded a single off of third base to start the fourth, and he tried stretching it into a double. Cabrera's throw actually beat him to second, and Martinez was shaken up after his slide. He got to his feet, though, limped back to the dugout, stayed in the game. That's the key. So that awkward slide does not have any serious implications as far as V-Mart's health is concerned. Detroit, when it comes to the injury bug, is already without third baseman Nick Castellanos, of course, with the broken hand, and just got second baseman Ian Kinsler back from a two-game absence due to a finger injury. And, and speaking of this, folks, again, when it comes to Ian Kinsler, folks, get this. He glued his fingernail Wednesday morning, showing it to Tigers manager Brad Ausmus before the lineup was posted. And he went out and played on a glued fingernail. He suffered a split fingernail on the middle finger of his right throwing hand on Sunday out in KC and was not in the starting lineup for the first two games of the series against the White Sox. But talk about tough. He just glues his fingernail, which I've never heard of in the first place, and goes out there and still plays baseball. That's the type of effort that this entire Detroit Tigers team needs right now. So they move on now to play a big series against a team that has something that they want right now, and that's a spot in the American League wild card dance, the Baltimore Orioles. Again, that series will begin tomorrow as Michael Fulmer will take the mound and Kevin Gausman will be the starting pitcher for the Orioles. Now, when it comes to the Baltimore Orioles, they are coming off a three-game series on the road against the Tampa Bay Rays. They took 2 of 3 out there. Prior to that, they took 2 of 3 at home against the Yankees. And they've had an up-and-down season as well. I mean, anytime you talk about competing for a wild card spot, I mean, you've had a season that has had many ups and many downs. And now we'll get to see who truly wants a spot in the playoffs. Head-to-head matchup this late in the year, both teams right in the thick of things for a wild card spot. We'll see what happens. I want to know what you think about this Detroit Tigers team right now and how do they remedy their problems approaching a huge weekend series such as this. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's current sports from New Orleans, Isaac Constance. How you doing, my man?
You know, I'm happy because I can blame it on my cold, but I've got to sing you a serenade real quick and ask, are you very superstitious?
This is why we're not in music. We're horrible. I'm not Lionel Richie, and you're definitely not Stevie Wonder, all right?
But so the reason I start off with that, though, is I came back to WKR after my class yesterday, probably around 4:30, 4:45, something like that, and I was watching the Tigers game, top of the eighth, and I said, you know, we're looking good, because I was talking to Drew Henderson, who filled in as engineer when I was hosting, and I was saying, you know, Drew, we're 12 games over right now. I think we're going to end up getting it. The bullpen, even over the past 3 weeks, it hasn't been as much of a constant conversation about are we going to hold on to late game leads. Justin Upton even has been clutch. That shows you how much this team has really turned things around. And I said, of course, knock on wood. And gosh, that's why I ask you, are you superstitious? Because I said knock on wood. I did not physically knock on wood. And I do think that I cursed the Tigers last night because I said it at the top of the eighth.
That's why the Tigers lost.
From the bottom of the eighth, everything changed.
I hear you. And you know what, though? I want to bring up another name because, as you stated, I mean, Isaac, the Tigers really just gave that game up. The bullpen gave that game away. Alex Wilson, though, has been like a different pitcher in the second half of the year. I must say that. He's had a 3.58 ERA over his first 33 games, but has just a 1.80 ERA over his last 20. That's crazy. That's crazy. So he has certainly stepped up. Rondon, have no problems with him. But again, it's really just two names here. I mean, Shane Green and Justin Wilson just gave the game away for the Detroit Tigers yesterday. So it is wearisome because you just don't know. On any given day, You just don't know what you are getting from this Detroit Tigers team. And that's really, Isaac, what separates that fine line between the good teams in baseball and the great teams in baseball. Consistency is something I harp on so much in the world of sports. Great teams know how to get it done on a consistent basis. If it's a question mark every time you go out there to play, I mean, you're not going to be able to really compete for championships. And that's something I think it's safe to say the Detroit Tigers here, folks. I understand it'll be right now, based on how the season has gone, it will be a success just to make the playoffs. But this is a team that has been built in the last 5 to 7 years now to compete for World Series wins. Simple as that. They got close in 2012 against the San Francisco Giants, but at the same time, you know, the bullpen has been an Achilles heel for this team countless times. Health has been an Achilles heel literally for this team countless times. Yeah. This is a squad that should compete for World Series wins. So even if the Detroit Tigers make a wild card spot, they're not going to win the World Series, and it's still going to be a disappointment. I think Brad Ausmus will be out the door, if you ask me, Isaac.
Well, and you're right about that, and I agree with you 100% that they're not going to win the World Series this year. But you and I have had this talk before, and I tend to disagree with you when you say that this is a team built to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. And we've had this talk before, I don't want to get into a huge argument. But I think this is a team that time and time again has looked for the cheap, meager way to make a little bit of extra dollars without sacrificing too much quality. And that's the downgrade from somebody like, I don't know, David Price to Jordan Zimmermann. And you know, you get trade a great pitcher for a good pitcher. It shouldn't be anything too detrimental. But it is a move, in my opinion, that removes you from World Series contention. So I think this team should be reaching higher than wild card spots, but I think World Series contention, I do think it's too far for this team. But the Detroit Tigers, the fact is, they need to make a wild card spot for Brad Ausmus to keep his job, especially how far they've came recently in the final stretch of this season. If they can't capitalize on it, it will be a collapse from this team. And you do have to blame that on the manager.
Well, I just think the expectations were way too high, really, for a young manager like Brad Ausmus to come in and people to expect him to take this team to the promised land.
Shouldn't have gotten the job in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think even if the Tigers make a wild card spot, he's already out the door, I think, Isaac. I really do believe that. I mean, because it's not about here in Detroit right now for the Tigers. It's not about just making the playoffs. It's about competing for World Series. A World Series championship. It's about winning the entire enchilada. And if you cannot deliver that, you got to go. And I think Brad Ausmus, even though you can bring up a few stretches of baseball here, especially in recent weeks, in which I think that Brad Ausmus has done a pretty solid job at managing this baseball team. And I really think that Brad Ausmus has gotten, in my opinion, way too much flack for the players not going out there and performing. Because, again, a lot of people forget. I mean, the easy cop-out for any sports fan out there is to blame the coach or to blame the manager and not put a lot of that responsibility, more so that responsibility, on the players. And I think that's what's happened in Detroit a lot, I think, especially in recent years. It's been easy to blame the manager, but Brad Ausmus has made some decisions where it's like, that makes no sense. And again, he's young. I think he's very knowledgeable in the game of baseball, where I just think he was in over his head in taking this job. So, again, even if they make a wild card spot, I really think that Brad Ausmus has already gotten the pink slip, and he'll be out pretty soon after the Detroit Tigers season ends, if you ask me. But I'm asking you folks out there, what do you think about this Detroit Tigers season so far, and what do you think about this weekend series? This is a big series for the Detroit Tigers. If I had to put you on the spot right now, Isaac, and give a prediction on what do you think will pan out this weekend as the Tigers take on the Baltimore Orioles, two teams competing for a WC spot, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm going to say the Tigers take the majority of the games, actually, because it's at home, because all of this pressure's on. You mentioned Justin Upton. I haven't had the big two back-to-back late-inning home runs. And I like this team going forward. I thought last night was more of a one-off. It was more of an anomaly for this team. It was the bullpen giving up runs that you hadn't seen them give up recently quite as much. So I'm going to say the Tigers win the majority. The pressure is on, though, and this is more than likely a series that will determine the Tigers' future, whether or not they make the playoffs.
So you think they'll take two or three again? Game one will take place on Friday. Michael Fulmer will be on the mound going against Kevin Gausman. Again, that's a 7:10 p.m. first pitch on Saturday. Again, same time, 7:10 first pitch, and game three will be a afternoon first pitch. I won't be watching. I'm going to be honest with you because that's the start of the NFL year. I'll be tuning in. I may flip the channel a few times, but again, that's when game three will take
place. What's your pick for it?
I think the Tigers do take two or three as well. Okay. I think the Tigers do, find the backs are against the walls. What do they have to lose right now? I think they're at home as well. I think they go out and have great effort. And I think Michael Fulmer is going to – he's been great all year.
Exactly.
Again, a rookie of the year candidate in Michael Fulmer. I think that Michael Fulmer will go out there and get the job done tomorrow to get this team on a good roll going into the weekend. All right, let's hit our first break. You heard the phone line just now. Again, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When do we come back? We will chat about the whole Colin Kaepernick sitting down during the national anthem conversation. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we are taking your calls. We just finished up a chat about the Detroit Tigers, who will now embark on a pretty big series against the Baltimore Orioles as they sit one game in back of the Orioles for an American League wild card playoff spot. They are 5.5 games in back of the Cleveland Indians in the American League Central. Let's be real here. They're not catching the Indians. But I want to know what you think about this Detroit Tigers season thus far. And what do you think about this weekend series against the Orioles? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Todd from Lake Orion on Current Sports. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. Probably better than I deserve.
Well, that's always a good thing, right? What's on your mind, Todd?
Well, I am no member of the Brad Ausmus fan club, and I'm not related to him. I think you're like a lot of Tiger fans. You acknowledge that it's easier to get on the coach and the manager, but let's be honest. We've got a player in Ian Kinsler who's a borderline all-star, probably, been in the big leagues, 12, 13, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you. As a big league ball player, can you imagine getting picked off first base twice in 1 week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brad Ausmus didn't tell him to go out there, not pay attention, and get picked off. Uh-huh. I'm pretty positive that you would lay that square on the feet of the ball player, don't you think?
Of course. Of course.
Let me ask you this. Yesterday's game, do you think Brad Ausmus told Victor Martinez to try to stretch a single into a double when a man walking backwards could probably get there faster than he could?
Agreed.
That's on Victor Martinez, a guy who's been in the league a long time and is an all-star. He did that to himself.
Agreed, Todd.
I'm going after the biggest fish in the pond.
And that God is the him. That is the overlying conversation when it comes to sports. At the end of the day, you have to win. And when you have the expectations that Brad Ausmus had when he took the Detroit Tigers job and you don't get close to a World Series, what do you expect is going to happen? I agree with you. A lot of
you better start calling players accountable. You better have a way that you don't get to just walk away and not talk to the press or no hablo ingles or I don't want to talk today. And I'm not done. I'm going after the biggest guy in the whole damn pond. There is no doubt that Miguel Cabrera is a phenomenal baseball player. Mm. He is. But let's be honest. And I'll say it, and you know it, but nobody else will write it and say it. He ain't in shape. He hasn't been in shape.
Mm-hmm.
He is not in baseball shape. He is carrying an extra 20 to 30 pounds around that this team, since the day he has signed, it doesn't matter whether it's Jim Leland, Dave Dombrowski, Avila, Ausmus, they ain't made him do nothing about it. And I'm going to give a perfect example. The game Sunday, everybody talks about the two home runs and what he did. That's great. I will acknowledge when it comes to a hitter, there are very few better. But in that same game, hello?
Yeah, we still got you, Tat. Yep.
But in that very same game, when Kansas City made their run, which the Tigers came back on an off, a ball was hit down the first baseline with guys on second and third that ended up being either a double or triple, and he didn't even die for it. He did not even lay out to stop the ball, and not a word was written, not a word was said. This guy is my best player. He's my leader. In a game we have to win on a ball hit down the line, you don't even lay out. I don't expect you to make every play. Nobody does. But if you're my best ball player, you're the guy that sets the tone. You set the example. In a game we need to win, you don't even dive. I got a problem with it. It doesn't matter whether you're making $1 or $24 million like he is. Miguel Cabrera, somebody needs to say, hey, you're great. But you know what? You might be a little bit better or a lot bit better if you'd carry around about 30 less pounds. When's that ever going to be written in the paper?
I think that's a good take, Todd. And you know what? So
it
basically, you're coming from the angle.
In the paper.
You're coming from the angle. You think Miguel Cabrera has gotten a little fat and happy then, huh? Now, just to play devil's advocate here, Miggy has not been 100% healthy. I will in recent years. I will say that though, Todd. I will say that. But at the same time, I do believe that you see this a lot in sports, Isaac. Not even just baseball here. You see a lot of guys get these big contracts and they just kind of rest on their laurels here. I think I would need more proof than that one play to make that statement about Miguel Cabrera, because I think Miguel Cabrera has been fantastic, has had a fantastic career, and has been relatively, I go back to that consistent word, he's been relatively consistent throughout much of his baseball career. So I don't know if I would make that statement and be that blunt with it like Todd, but he brings up a few interesting points there, Isaac. What do you think?
Some of the best hitters in the game of baseball, we've seen them go through phases where they start off skinny little kids, and they got some power to them, and they end up as first baseman carrying around another 100 pounds that they probably don't need. Also, a la David Ortiz, a la Miguel Cabrera, you know, who started as a third baseman, moved to left field, came all the way back to first base. It is the story of the game, but I think there's a managerial logic to it as well, and the reason is you want to protect that guy from injury. I remember watching high school football my junior year, sophomore year, something like that. And Odell Beckham, who I grew up with, was playing. He was a senior. He had all these scholarship offers on the table. And he had this punt where it hit off one of his players. And every single person on the team dove for the ball. Mm-hmm. All the other team members also dove on the ball. And Odell was probably the closest to it. And he backed off. And it was kind of like, oh, dude, come on, you got to give it up. But at the same time, you knew in the back of your mind, he's playing it really smart. And that's different when you've got a scholarship on the line.
And that's a different level, too. I mean, that's high school as opposed to the pros.
But at the same time, it's the same reason. You're protecting your best player in one way or another, and their long-term health, it does have to be more valuable.
Especially with a guy like Miguel Cabrera, who has been injured the last 3 years. You know
exactly
what I mean? He's gone through stretches where he has not been 100%. So it's hard for me to go out there and say Miguel Cabrera has not given 100% effort when the dude hasn't been 100%.
But it is fair that Miguel did come in at the start of the year overweight, and there are plenty of ways to keep off the weight. It's a fair criticism to be thrown.
And I must say this, though. Miguel Cabrera has had a decent year, though. Given the circumstances, I will say that. I mean,
315 batting average,
yeah,
right now.
Bad if you ask me. So, all right, well, 20 minutes left here in the show. Again, we're continuing to take your calls. Thanks so much, Todd. That was a hot take from Todd. 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKAR. Call in to be a part of today's show. We want to transition now into a topic that has been really a hot button issue of discussion for, a little over a week now. And that concerns Colin Kaepernick, NFL quarterback, who has decided to really use his voice to protest inequality here in America. He has decided to not stand during the national anthem, which is traditionally played before each and every sporting event here in America. Now, I know, Isaac, you hit on this last weekend. I haven't gotten a chance to give my take on it, but I want to play a snippet from yesterday's Undisputed show. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's a show on Fox Sports in which Skip Bayless, formerly of ESPN, he has now implemented a show by the name of the Undisputed, which is really, it's really the same show.
It's the exact
same show. Same show that Skip had on ESPN entitled First Take, which is now, you know, Stephen A. Smith's and Max Kellerman's now. But it's literally, I chuckled when I saw it because it's literally the exact same format. You have a moderator, a female moderator in the center of the table, moderating between two guys who are bantering on some sports topic with a few roll-ins and a catchy tagline at the bottom as a lower third. It is the same exact show. So I chuckled when I saw
it. I did see, too, isn't Lil Wayne introing
it? Lil Wayne is the intro, and they had Wale as the intro for ESPN's.
Either okay? Both those guys fell off.
Yeah, both of them are not great. That's a whole different, if this was a hip-hop show, I'd go on a rant about that. But anyway, Shannon Sharp, though, is the counterpart to Skip Bayless on the show. And Shannon, of course, he's an NFL Hall of Famer, had a great career when he played for the Denver Broncos, and he's pretty good on the air, I must say. Shannon had this take concerning the whole Colin Kaepernick national anthem dialogue.
In World War II, there are a lot of African-Americans that went to foreign soil to fight. Mm-hmm. They were fighting for freedoms in a foreign land that when they came home, they didn't enjoy themselves. Under that flag, with those veterans. So think about this. You go to Germany, and you go overseas, and you fight for freedoms of people you have no idea, have nothing in common with. And the very country that you're representing, when you come back to it, you're a second-class citizen.
Correct.
Agreed. I have a very unique perspective, Skip.
Okay.
I'm from rural South Georgia.
You are.
I'm 48 years old, Skip. And if I don't tell you my religion, you can't guess it. If I don't tell you my mom's name, you couldn't guess it. I was dirt poor. 1,000 square feet, 10 people sometimes, cement floors, tin roof. I'm well off now. The one thing that I've been for 48 years is black. That's what you see. You don't see my religion. Mm-hmm. You don't see my orientation. You don't know my political affiliation. But you see this. I see people get on shows and the officers say non-compliance. Well, I saw a guy in Florida, a white guy, stab two people, kill him, stabbed another guy, was eating the guy's face. Female officer tased him. They have to wait 10, 15 minutes, and they take him alive. I see a guy selling CDs, and he's killed. I see a guy selling loose leaf cigarettes, and he's killed. See, that's what gets us up in arms.
I should.
Because you say non-compliance is a death sentence. If a man is gnawing a man's face after he's killed two people, we see what happened in Colorado. The guy killed 12, and they take him alive. We see what happened in Charleston. What nine parishioners. He drives. Not only do they take him alive, they take him by Burger King because he's hungry. So you think we're supposed to be okay with this?
No.
In what system?
How do we solve it?
Skip, there's a huge, we got to start with us.
A hot take from Shannon Sharp, now with Fox Sports on the Undisputed show, alongside Skip Bayless and company. You know, this is a subject that, again, has been talked about in and out, around. I mean, it has been attacked from many different angles when it concerns Colin Kaepernick sitting out during the national anthem. And you heard Shannon address the history of this nation as it concerns African Americans. And, you know, it's interesting because when I first, I had mixed emotions, I must say, when I first heard about Colin Kaepernick sitting out, deciding not to participate and stand up and, you know, put his hand on his heart or stand in respect of the national anthem being played. I had mixed emotions because when you evaluate what the national anthem has, just the overall undertone that it has in relation to our great country of the United States of America, you know, you stand to honor those who have fought for our freedom here in America. And now, you know, when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, now you have this guy sitting out to protest. I mean, what is he protesting? And then, of course, Colin Kaepernick came out and talked about how he refuses to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people. Then I began to really do my own due diligence and research as it, you know, as it concerns the national anthem itself. And, you know, there are two sides to this coin, because there are some people out there that view the national anthem as a symbol of respect that needs to be shown when addressing the history and tradition of our great nation as it pertains to those who have fought for it, those who have, you know, lost their lives and who have come back in traumatic states of mind to make sure that we all are able to wake up and enjoy the freedoms that we currently have in this nation. But at the same time, I think Shannon Sharp in that rant brought up a very good point when it comes to the African American population here in America. When it comes to equality, one of the pillars that this great country has been founded on, let's be real here, folks. Let's keep it at 100. African Americans have not enjoyed the luxury of equality here in America traditionally for quite some time. And this year, 2016, we've seen countless examples of inequality as it pertains to African Americans and law enforcement. We've seen it happen countless times, and Shannon did a great job of bringing up a few of those incidences, and as well as incidences of recent past where African American males have lost their lives due to what? Due to preconceived notions, due to preconceived beliefs of what African American males hanging out in the street are. And a quick story when it comes to a member of my family. My uncle, who I love him to death, Uncle Eddie, we call him Uncle Snoochie in the fam, he fought in the Vietnam War. And, you know, it's interesting because he's told me this story 1,000 times where, you know, he came home, you know, of course they had a draft for during the Vietnam War, and he came home and my grandmother, his mom, had opened up the mail letting him know that he had to report for the draft, and he was a bit upset about it because he knew it was coming and he was going to try to get out of it. But once you open that letter, you got to report. But, you know, he goes, you know, he tells me the story and he goes through this list of emotions where he's like, you know what, nephew, when I fought at the Vietnam War, I was sitting there kind of like in the state of Muhammad Ali saying to myself, why am I here? I have nothing against these people. And to be quite honest with you, what has this country done for me? This is a country that has oppressed blacks left and right, and I'm here fighting for who? Fighting for what? And that is an opinion of many African Americans that have fought for our country in our country's history, I should say. You know, again, they love the country. We love the freedoms that they have here in America. At the same time, you cannot ignore the racial oppression that blacks have faced over time. And with it coming to a boiling point, I believe, with what we've seen in recent weeks and recent months concerning the African-American relationship with law enforcement, those who have the platform to do so and those who strongly believe that change needs to happen, they have to let their voices be heard. And it takes an incredible amount of courage to do what Colin Kaepernick is currently doing, to raise awareness for this overall tone of inequality that blacks have faced here in America in the past and that blacks are currently facing in present times here on September 8th, 2016. And even doing some history on the national anthem here. You know, there are a lot of people that are opposed to it. And again, I get it, because the national anthem is supposed to be you standing up and showing pride in your country and showing respect for your country and those that have fought for it. But who's to say that the national anthem is solely just that? Who's to say that you have to stand during the national anthem? And to be honest with you, I didn't even know this. Doing some further research on the national anthem, there is a verse that was actually taken out of the third stanza. The third stanza was taken out of the national anthem. Is no longer sung, but you know, it's a stanza which many called as racist because it addresses slavery. And the verse says this, quote, "And where is that band who so vauntedly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, shall leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." That stanza is no longer sung during the national anthem, but it addresses in that verse, when it addresses the slave, it almost celebrates it. So there's so many ways you can go with this, but my opinion on the matter is that Colin Kaepernick is standing up and drawing attention to an issue that has become so important, especially here in 2016, because we are, again, people have smartphones now, and, you know, the videos, the visuals of law enforcement killing African Americans unjustly is so vivid in our minds, and something needs to be done. And Colin Kaepernick is starting the conversation and is keeping the conversation going by doing something like this. As President Obama said, this is a man who is expressing his right of free speech to protest an issue here in America that needs to be changed. So I have totally no problem with it. There are many of our listeners, I'm sure, that do. There are some that agree with me and some that don't. And that's what makes a conversation like this so great, because we're not all going to agree. And in this conversation, we hope we can get to a solution. And I think the last part of what Shannon Sharp had to say, when Skip asked him, okay, how do we change this? Shannon Sharp said it has to start within. And it really does, folks. Because a problem within the African-American community that isn't talked about enough is the constant killing of one another. Black-on-black crime. Young African-American males involved with gangs or other heinous-related activity going out there and killing each other on a regular basis. If we want to see change, if we truly want to see change from those around us, we've got to see change from within us. Simple as that, folks. It's our second break, I should say. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports. We'll hit you with Throwback Thursday. And also, Tiger Woods has announced that he will return to the game of golf. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. 5 minutes left here in the show. It is Thursday, September 8th, 2016, and each and every Thursday here on our airwaves, we love to hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. We dub it Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, it is time for Throwback Thursday. So what exactly took place on this particular date in sports history? Well, it is September 8th, and we are going way back for a few moments here, starting with September 8th, 1939. Indians' Bob Feeler is the youngest pitcher to win 20 games. We roll the clock back now to 1934. Well, actually, 1919, excuse me. Babe Ruth hits his 26th homer off Jack Quinn in New York, breaking Buck Freeman's 1899 home run mark of 25. The Babe, the great one, gotta love that, in 1915, 4 years earlier. The 35th U.S. Men's National Championship, William Johnston beats Maurice McLaughlin 6-1, 6-0, 7-5, 10-8 in tennis. So there you have that. In 1905, Pittsburgh Pirates, they strand an NL record. Get this, 18 men on base. The Pirates strand 18 men on base and lose to the Reds 8-3. And in 1883, the New York Giants scored 13 runs in an inning. Yeah, 13 runs in one inning against the Phillies. So there you have that. Also, it's interesting. We have a this is a new tidbit I think we're bringing to the forefront here. But weddings in sport that took place on this day. In 1973, ice hockey star Bobby Orr wed speech therapist Peggy Wood at a secret ceremony in Ontario, Canada. In 1987, get this, NFL wide receiver Jerry Rice weds girlfriend Jackie Mitchell. And in 2010, Grammy-nominated singer, Jenny Rivera weds MLB pitcher Esteban Louisiana at the Hummingbird Nest Ranch in Simi Valley, California. So congratulations to all of those wedding anniversaries as well in the world of sports. Well, 3 minutes left here on the show. Isaac, any final thoughts, my man? Because you didn't get to weigh in on the whole, you waited on last week, I know, but the whole Colin Kaepernick discussion, and what are your thoughts on what Shannon Sharpe had to say yesterday?
I weighed in for about 40 minutes last week, you know, right, just because it is such a hot topic. I thought Stan Verrett of ESPN had the best take on the issue, which was, yes, there are problems we have to address at home, but let's stop focusing so much on the protest. Let's start focusing on the issue instead. And that's what the protest is designed to do. So overall, I kind of weaved through it. I took it back from the, I'm forgetting the name currently, Rodney Harrison comments regarding Kaepernick's race himself, that he was mixed and maybe didn't have the black experience. That doesn't matter whatsoever.
I hate
on your
that.
Issue, what yeah. your take is on that. Within the black community, of course, there's violence, but we need to address this as it is right now, the issue at hand. And then for the veterans overseas, I can see how some perceive it to be disrespectful. At the end of the day, it's supposed to be disrespectful, though, in some way, because that's what gets attention, unfortunately. It shouldn't be. I can see why people would take offense, but it needs to be addressed. It needs the attention by the media. It needs the national scrutiny. So that's it. The one thing I would take issue with is the Colin Kaepernick socks.
I was going to bring it up. Those
were pejorative, yeah, and those caused backlash within communities.
And then the
That's Castro,
he wore a Castro t-shirt, and he had the socks, you know, that depicted the cops as pigs. That's when I was a bit confused, because I didn't know what kind of message he was trying to send out there. But I hope that he regrets wearing those socks and that t-shirt. I must say that. All right. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. We'll be back at it same time, same place to put a bow on the week that has been Current Sports. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a great afternoon. And be easy, people.